Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Thaddeus McCotter of American Greatness, my colleague and co-host. And we're very pleased to welcome Malcolm Hoadline, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. We have a very large map to cover, so right to it. Malcolm, the Muslim Brothers are a sinister outfit, a transnational sinister outfit, driven out of Egypt, taking refuge in Turkey, but they remain a threat to the United States. Apparently, rumbling into action, we've decided they are a threat. Is that correct? Good evening, Malcolm.
Good evening to both of you. And it's absolutely a threat. It has been a threat. This is long overdue. The designation, it is not done yet. The president said they're working on the papers and said that they will be very tough and very restrictive on the designation as a foreign terrorist organization, which has a lot of implications. Muslim Brotherhood is behind groups that even operate in the United States, certainly had ties to many of them. And I think more and more of that will come out with the designation. And there was a 200-page report that was recently issued on their strategic entryism into the United States, how they have cleverly infiltrated, and it documents their long-term ideological campaign to exploit both Western and particularly American freedoms to undermine democratic processes. They were founded in the 1920s, originally in Egypt, and have been for more than 100 years growing as a threat. They have all sorts of front groups that operate. It's a sort of incubator for extremist and jihadist movements. So this is something that we've sought for a long time. Members of Congress have petitioned for it, and it would represent a really important step to confront the Muslim Brotherhood of the United States. And I think there are a lot of people who have worked with them, have helped them capture money and resources, who are shivering a little bit more today because of the pending designation.
Mentioning that the Muslim Brothers are the progenitors of Hamas. Thaddeus, you have a question for Malcolm.
And our children of Turkey and Qatar.
Thank you.
Yes, Malcolm. Iran's been a very busy little terrorist state with a water crisis, hijacking tankers, trying to rebuild their nuclear facilities. Can you shed some light on their recent activities?
Yes, there are so many fronts on the Iranian story right now. And, if you don't address it for a week, it becomes like a whole new story, because there's always some sort of a new crisis that they invent. First of all, the water crisis is growing worse and worse constantly. The president has talked about relocating the capital as a result, and saying that they may have to evacuate the people from Tehran. There are 8 or 9 reservoirs that serve Tehran, but many of them have dried up. And the interesting thing is that the whole system was built in the days of the Shah, where they brought in Israeli technology experts. And it was the days when relations between Israel and Iran were very close. And the families had moved there. They stayed there for years, building a network from everything from desalinization to recapturing used water, et cetera. And of course, with Israel out, they have neglected it over the years. And now most of the dams serving Tehran are dried up. So there are hours when they have to ration water, and they say there'll be even more rationing as they go along. But also, because of the growth of crypto industry, particularly illegal crypto industry, they tap into the grid using residential and industrial connections, and they pay a fraction of the actual cost because it's subsidized. And now they don't pay anything because they bypass the meters. And it's saying that maybe 20% of the country's electricity deficit is because of these operations. And there are rolling blackouts across the country, all of these things exacerbating the tensions within the country, the anti-government feeling, and the feeling that Iran, which is moving quickly to rebuild both its nuclear program, but also conventional weapons, they're saying they have 2,000 of the missiles that they fire, like those that they fired at Israel, now in their arsenal. So we've seen them looking to find new ways and new avenues of building when they can't feed their people, when there are shortages of everything. They're building a rail line to Moscow. They have engaged in various exercises, and they're facing new sanctions, which are having an impact on the government and on the finances of the country. And we hope that there'll be even more as they go along.
Malcolm, a detail, though. They've been selling oil to China. Does that continue? Are they evading or defeating the severe sanctions?
They're not defeating them. They try to evade them. The United States has done much more to capture that. But they turn off the transponders on the ships. But the United States has been sanctioning those that the companies and the traders that have been taking Iranian oil and transferring it. They also were illegally taking Russian oil for a long time and selling it for them. I think that is somewhat diminished. But the Iranians are trying to rebuild their network. They continue to support the Houthis. They are providing weapons to Hamas and Hezbollah. They are, you know, engaging in all of these nefarious activities and are building a new place on Pickaxe Mountain for nuclear developments and nuclear enrichment and stuff, and don't grant any access to the IAEA to the site. So we see Iran, old Iran, reemerging. And while the internal situation is desperate, they don't care. They just move ahead.
To Gaza, you tell me there are 3 hostages left in the tunnels, perhaps. Hamas is in the tunnels. A major food and water distributor has now quit the business, maybe driven out, maybe disgusted with Hamas. So what is the moving story here? Hamas has yet to disarm. The ceasefire, is it considered in place?
In form, yes. In fact, no, because we see that Hamas is not disarming, which is the first condition. Israel they've divided a yellow marker borderline where they divided Gaza, the bulk of it on the side of Hamas and the population. Development taking place on the Israeli side now. They're talking about building housing to be able to take people from the Hamas zone to live in the Israeli side with new homes and development to hope to undermine Hamas. But there are more and more groups growing within Hamas who reject them. Some of them are militias, some are gangs, some are other groups, but they are moving ahead. Obviously, there's no internal organization, the elimination of so many of the leaders, and they are moving more in sectors than in as a whole. So aid has been cut. The group, the GHF, which was American-sponsored group, cut because they said they're no longer necessary. There is so much aid going in, despite the false reports from UN agencies and others. And in fact, the World Health Organization said the major crisis in Gaza is obesity, double the rate of Israel, and admitted that there never was a famine, that they always had 3 months of food, that it was being stolen by Hamas even recently. And you cited having seen the pictures that the press showed. And yet that story doesn't get said told, and they just keep blaming Israel as if they're responsible for what Hamas is bringing upon the people.
The bulk of the BBC investigative report was not about the editing of President Trump's remarks. It was about the distortion of the news caused by the BBC accepting that Hamas agents were legitimate journalists. Has that been addressed on the ground, Malcolm? Has Israel moved to make certain the BBC doesn't do that again? Is there any conversation going on?
Well, there are lawsuits. There are other actions, but Israel has limited some of the BBC reporters. There were even people who journalists who were involved in the October 7th outrages. and they were identifying. Some were UNRWA employees. There were people who had press credentials, worked as press, and at the same time were involved in terrorist activities. BBC, I don't know what they'll do. If there's ever real peace in Gaza, Israel, I think BBC will close down, because half their news reports are always dredging up stories and never changing it, always talking about the famine and all these things, regardless that even the UN acknowledges is not a valid story. So no, they have not cured the problem. There are some, there have been some resignations, in part because of the story about President Trump, but also accusations of bias in their reporting, anti-Jewish, anti-Semitic, anti-Israel, certainly. And it's very blatant.
The famine went away. The genocide went away. The 64,000 or 68,000 women and children dead went away. All of that just disappeared from the front pages. Is anybody pursuing those claims to see if they were real or not?
Yeah, there are. They continue to report. They say 300 died. They don't report that these were, many of them were, first of all, were terrorists. Second, people who died of normal causes. Third, that because Hamas is operating, continuing now to operate from within civilian populations to draw fire, they've been firing on Israeli troops if they respond. And unfortunately, at times, civilians do get caught in it. But the numbers are still exaggerated, way exaggerated. And the BBC still doesn't care about the nature of their reporting and learning a lesson from the last 2 years.
Malcolm Holine, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, my colleague and co-host, Thaddeus McCarter of American Greatness. We're headed to Lebanon. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.